Thank you very much, Tonya. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the BC Members Pre-Prod Conference Call taking place on the 18th of June 2012. On the call today, we have Marilyn Cade, Zahin Jamil, Andy Abrams, Neil Blair, Jim Baskin, Gabriella Slack, Philip Corwin, Mark Sloan, Jimson Olofuye, Janet O'Callaghan, Ron Andrus, Steve Del Bianco, and Elisa Cooper. And we have apologies from Aisha Hassan and John Brevard. And over to you, Marilyn.
Thank you, Benny. I just want to welcome everyone and tell you that I know it's going to be a... I've done is try to put together the kinds of information that can help us on ground. There's a few things that I want to mention just as a reminder as we go through this. One of the things that some of you are familiar with is that Vinny uses the RSVPs that you give her about your participation to put together a meeting's email list. And if you, that is how we communicate on ground so that we're not blasting out emails to the full membership if we're just trying to get together for a quick huddle. So I've asked her to modify our format and add in remote participants because I know that both Jimson and Ron want to be on the remote participation list. So if you have a colleague who isn't going to be able to come but wants to follow the work on the ground, just send their information to Benny and she will add them to the PROG meeting attendance list under the remote participation category. And that also means that when we have our meetings, when we have remote participation, we'll know that we should pay special attention to those members who've indicated that they are going to participate. So that's a quick reminder. Today's call is going to be an aggressive marathon. Actually, I'm going to call it a sprint, running through what is happening in Prague and offering the opportunity to have other topics raised, some of which we may get to today and some of which we may not. So what I really want to do before I start our race through this agenda is go to item 11 under AOB, and I want to add a topic there myself and ask if anyone else wants to add topics. My topic is the status of the timing of the CEO appointment. Does anyone want to add any other topics? I'm not saying we're going to have answers, but it's the kind of topics that we want to focus on and be aware of. Does anyone want to add anything else to AOB? Okay. Then I think we'll just get started with the Benny, can you just do a quick rundown for us of the confirmed attendees you have? I know you're going to send the document separately once you get any remote participation, but do you have any need for anything else from people? Do you want to just tick through who you have on the list very quickly so everybody knows who's on the list?
Sure. So I've got Andy Abrams, Angie Graves, Aisha Hassan, Bill Smith, Bryce Cowlin, Caroline Greer, Chris Chaplow, Chuck Warren, Elisa Cooper, Faisal Shah, Frederick Feldman, Gabriella Slack, Janet O'Callaghan, Jarko Ruska, Jeff Brueggemann, Jim Baskin, John Berard, John Myers, Jordan Buchanan, Katrina Olson, Mary Patullo, Mary Jo Kokelar, Marilyn Cade, Mario Mawad, Martin Sutton, Mike Pelage, Mike Rodenbach, Philip Corwin, Sarah Deutsch, Sarah Falvey, Scott McCormick, Steve Del Bianco, Tara Mustala, Wauda Siganga, and Zahid Jamil. And for remote participants, I've got Ron Andrus and Lynn Gudendorf.
Okay, and we'll add Jimson for remote participation to the extent that he can participate. Would you also...
Sorry, yes, I actually had him on there. sorry about that.
Would you also make a note to follow up with Jeff Brueggemann about Philip Saab and Eric Loeb from AT&T, both of whom are expected to be there Sunday through Wednesday from AT&T? Who have we missed anyone that you guys are bringing from your organizations? Okay. And can you just give me the number that you have now, Benny? The total number is 37 or 36?
41.
I don't know if my high blood pressure medicine lets me deal with that increase in attendance. I want to congratulate everyone. This will be the highest number of participants that we have had at an ICANN meeting. So that's really a fantastic achievement. So I've taken care of items 3 and 4. I want to move to so Benny, you're going to be setting up a email distribution just for these folks for us to deal with any on-site communication. Would you ask people to give you, please, their Skype ID if you don't have it, because we may set up some Skype communication. Not everyone I know can use Skype, but I'd like us to be able to use Skype and just put a column in that shows if they have Skype or not, and then we'll know who all we've missed and have to keep in touch with on with email. I want to go to the hotel update. If you have not received a email reconfirming you've been added back into the Hilton Hotel, if you're staying at the Hilton, would you let Benny know that off list? Most everyone has been, first of all, advised they were moved. Then we jumped up and down in a corner. Including the fact that I complained all the way to the chairman of the board and the COO, as well as the head of meetings. And ICANN sent a staff person to the Hilton to actually individually review the list to make sure that everyone was returned. But it is possible they may have missed someone. So if you did not get the second notice from the hotel telling you you've been returned, could you let Benny know? We are going to send this list that Benny has of the people who are from our constituency who think they're confirmed for the Hilton. We're sending that to the meeting staff just to thank them for their intervention, but make it clear that we expect our members to be taken care of. So anyone on the call right now that thinks they have a problem with the Hilton? And no, Benny's not going to get you into the Hilton if you didn't register there earlier. That's just a joke. Does anyone think they have a problem with the Hilton right now? Good. Moving on, I want to talk about the GNSO Council agenda for Saturday and Sunday, and I'm delighted that Zaid has just gotten off a plane, and Zaid, thank you so much for making me, I think you probably had to change your flight schedule so you could join us, and thank you for doing that. Looking at Saturday and Sunday, Saturday has got a standing committee on GNSO improvements and implementation. I'm very happy Ron's on the call with us because Ron is the primary representative on that, and Angie Graves is his secondary. Ron, this subcommittee has a unique role that I think most of the members aren't necessarily familiar with. We've asked you and really empowered you because of your expertise and experience to take on this representation for the BC, and thank you for also recruiting Angie and supporting inducting her into this. Could you tell us a little bit about what's going on with that group? And I would just forecast that the group may become a lot more important for us as we start struggling with any reorganization changes in the GNSO.
Thank you, Marilyn. This is Ron for the transcript. In fact, we had a SCI call this morning, and that stands for the Standing Committee on Implementation of the procedures and motions that were all worked through from the various working groups from last year. And basically this body is to be on call that should something arise that isn't quite working in the implementation process as was anticipated from the working groups, that we would look back at it again and have a just another review of all of the facts and see if we could come up with something that might resolve the issue. We are currently looking at a number of items, one being deferral of motions, another being a proxy voting procedure, and another one, voting thresholds for delaying a PDP. There are a couple of other smaller matters, but these are the key focus. On deferral of motions, what we're talking about is right now there is an informal practice within the GNSO that is really up to the chair's discretion. As many on the call would know, others may not be familiar with it, but basically a motion has to be filed with the GNSO secretariat 8 days before the next GNSO meeting. There's a cutoff date for that. And what happens is that these motions are filed on the very last minute of the day, and then constituencies have to scramble around to try to understand what is the nature of this motion, the purpose of it, and what's trying to be, what are they trying to resolve with the by bringing this motion to the table. So that's been a very tricky one, in so much as just not enough information early on in the process for the BEC and other constituencies to really address it. So the question was, should we allow deferral of motions? There's only been, of all of the motions that were put forward, a very small number of deferrals, and the deferrals were pretty well across the board. And I know in the case of the BC, we most often deferred simply because we didn't have enough information and we needed more information to take a decision within the constituency. So we're now discussing whether or not we should be giving guidance to the council, to the chair, in terms of how he should deal with these things, or just let this whole thing go for another year and see how many deferrals come forward and how they're dealt with. The general rule within the SCI is we should have a light touch. In other words, it's not up. You know, there's enough policies and enough mechanisms to develop policy. We don't need yet another body to be putting policies on top of policies. So we're trying to take a relatively light touch, giving more direction or doing nothing if it's something that we think would just monitor for a while. So deferral of motions is in that category. That's kind of a good example of how we're addressing these things. We'll fool with Canobin on the weekend at 8:30 at the GNSO Council meeting. We'll be reviewing all of these. He's the current chair of the SCI, and he will review kind of where we stand on these issues at that time. I think that's 8:30 on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, for that meeting.
Proxy, let me just pause you for a minute. Would you please interface with Wolf on that? Sunday, that interferes with the breakfast that we have arranged with the two board members, and Wolf was interested in changing the time. So off list, could I just ask you to communicate with him and see if it is possible, since we are going to need you and Wolf, if at all possible, in that breakfast meeting with our two board members on Sunday morning.
In fact, I'm looking at the working session now, Marilis, 9 to 9:30 is the date, the time for that. And I know that there was it was difficult to get this on the agenda, but apparently it is now on the agenda, so I think it's cast in stone, unfortunately.
You're talking about Saturday.
Saturday, right, Saturday, June 23rd, 9 to 9:30 in the morning,
right,
local time.
But I was responding to your point that you're going to have a working session on Sunday.
They said on the call, I think it's 2:30, it would be, so 8:30 on Sunday morning, that is correct. Yeah.
Let me come back to you, because that means we would have you, well, when we talk about the agenda for Sunday morning, let's talk about the implications of this. I want to say something about the implications of this group. I'm going to ask Ron and Angie that this
group was established to oversee GNO improvements that were really focused on the GNSO Council and the policy development process. And the group has had a varied career. It's now, and the BC has always had very effective representation on it. I think it's very possible, I'll just mention this, Ron, it's very possible that this group is going to have to take on more examination of the implications of changes in the GNSO as they are reflected into the council work. Because it's likely that we're going to launch a review, a second stage review process of the GNSO at some time. So if we could park that as a work item for you and Angie to be aware of, and that may mean that you'll want to actually begin to develop a stronger backward-facing interaction with members. I know right now the priority is interface with the officers and with the counselors, since it's primarily about the GNSO Council policy process. But we may need to revisit that as things develop in future changes within ICANN structure.
Actually, to that point, Marilyn, there's some discussion about putting together a survey or some kind of a form that would come out to all of the constituencies and all the, you know, basically the community as a whole, that would say that this is who we are, this is what we do at the STI, and is there something that you feel we need to be addressing? And the idea is to try to get a sense from the community is what are the issues that are hanging out there that they're not comfortable with, or something that has some rough edges we need to knock some corners off. So there is some discussion about outreach, if you will, if I can use that term kind of loosely, to the community to gather that. So I think what you've just said falls kind of in line with that. Thank you.
And can you remind us of who chairs the group now and what the opportunities are for BC leadership?
Well, Wolf Ulrich Canovan chair is the chair right now. I believe Avery Doria is the vice chair. There is more possibility for leadership. For my part, candidly speaking, I've tried not to take the chair role so that I could speak and be more influential in terms of the moving the dialogue, as opposed to the chair having to kind of stand back from that. So, but there is opportunity. The SCI is represented by two representatives from each constituency. So there's a relatively large group, but approximately six, seven, eight of us show up for every call.
Terrific. Any other questions for Ron? I think we need to flag the idea that this may be on an ongoing way, that this is going to be a group that's important to us, not just for now, and make sure that there is strong communication between the executive committee and you and Angie. And then as things evolve, Ron, it may be that we want to think about the role of the SCI. Whether we want it to be more or less is a question yet to be determined.
Marilyn, Chris, can I ask a quick question?
Please.
Ron, just for my clarification, is the SCI, does that relate to the GNSO improvement specifically, or is it wider than that?
Well, specifically, Chris, it's improvements. That's supposed to be our focus. But I think that it's been kind of established with a decidedly vague view. We have a charter, and it speaks to implementation of GNSO elements. But there's often things that come on the table that the discussion is somewhat broader in certain circumstances. So at this stage, it's GNSO-focused, but I think that there are some people within the group think that we have a bit of a larger mandate.
Sorry, Ron. Right now, it's GNSO Council-focused.
Correct. I'm sorry. Correct. That's correct.
And so could you say more about who in the group thinks that, because I think Chris's question was, is it about GNSO improvements, which is very different and much broader, and And there was a long list of GNSO improvements, right, Chris, that we will also have to pay attention to. Do we have a website? Do we have an active mailing list? Are we open and transparent? Blah, 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 blah. But I thought the group was focused on policy improvements related to the council. Is that right or not?
I think that is correct. I'm actually going and trying to pull up the page right now to look at our charter to give a very clear answer on that. So if you bear with me for a second, I might be able to give you that direct answer.
Well, I'm Christopher, I'm thinking that we should ask Ron and Angie to take a close look at this, because in the evaluation of the GNSO improvements, there will be a survey and a external group that evaluates what the constituencies have done in terms of achieving the mandated improvements. So we probably do need to know if this is the standing committee that's going to be involved in that, or if it's something else, don't you think?
Marilyn, here's the direct statement. It's the GNSO Standing Committee on Improvement Implementation, or SCI, will be responsible for reviewing and assessing the effective functioning of the recommendations provided by the Operational Steering Committee, the Policy Process Steering Committee, and the Policy Development Process Work Team, and approved by the GNSO Council. On request for those recommendations that have been identified to present immediate problems, or on periodic timescale for all recommendations in order to identify possible issues and or improvements, subject to a clear definition by the SCI on which recommendations should be reviewed.
Okay. What I'm going to do, Ron, is thank you for doing a good job so far and give you a broader assignment.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Would you bundle up what you just researched and send that back to the XCOM? And I think one of the things we're going to talk about is, you know, the whole impact of the new GTLDs. But I think this, we're going to need to understand what these existing structures are, like this one. And if people in the group think that the group has a broader agenda that's going to contribute to the evaluation of the constituencies and stakeholder groups, not just the policy development process, then we're going to need to make this a standing work item for participation from a broader group of the BC supporting you and Angie. But for right now, I think if we could just treat this as it is what it is, but be aware that you said some think that the group has broader responsibilities?
No, it's there are things, for example, the Policy Process Steering Committee, we're still working on a couple of elements, and so there are things that are outside that are still out there that we haven't yet seen. So I think that's more the issue.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. And I think, Benny, if we could just make sure that we keep this group on our standing agenda as something to pay attention to. I want to move us to consumer trust, consumer choice, and competition. And Steve is on the call. Steve and John are the heavy hitters for the BC. Steve is, if not a, an, I think, Steve, you're practically the de facto chair, although there is an actual chair, but you're carrying a very heavy load there. Can you bring us up to date on this and your views of the priorities for the BC and your advice for what we do next?
Yeah, this is from 9:30 to 10:30 on Saturday morning, and it'll be a briefing on the progress of the working group on incorporating all of the public comments in an updated draft of our advice. Again, this advice is pursuant to a board resolution where the board looked at the affirmation of commitment. They looked at the fourth review that the affirmation requires, and it's a review of the new GTLD program and the extent to which it promoted consumer trust, consumer choice, competition a year after the new TLDs are in the roots. So our group is defining those terms, consumer trust, consumer choice, competition, coming up with about 40 different measures or metrics to assess them, and then three-year targets to determine whether the program has actually achieved the promotion of consumer trust, consumer choice, and competition. We had hoped to have updated advice available for the PROG meeting, and we've been going at it 4 to 6 hours a week in the working group, but we're probably not going to have it done until after PROG. The digestion of the U.S. government comments is probably the most significant load on us. The U.S. government weighed in, and in a comment that had a lot of good meat in it, also introduced the concept that said that we ought to look at quantifying costs and benefits of the new GTLD program so that the evaluation can determine if the benefits exceeded the cost. And while that's been a common conversation, the BC supported such studies, economic studies of that, before the program was launched, it turns out not to be relevant to this particular exercise. The affirmation of commitments does not call for any measurement of costs versus benefits in the new GTLD program, and nor did the board resolution. So we'll do our best to identify items like defensive registrations and to request that ICANN track the data necessary to quantify the costs, not just the cost of a registration, but we're going to ask ICANN to do annual surveys of registrants to understand both their internal and external costs of policing for cyber squatting and defensive registrations. So we'll gather a lot of the data for the cost, but we're not going to take on the goal of trying to tote up all the costs and tote up all the benefits and do a comparison, because that's not part of the affirmation. Making great progress, and the BC's priorities for consumer trust, absence of malware, additional compliance metrics, and holding registries to their promises remain to be the main priorities that this group is coming up with. I'm happy to take questions.
Thank you. Steve, I have one.
Maryland.
Whenever you just to kick this off, whenever you say, I'm a little bit confused on terminology. The U.S. government's contribution or submission. I thought one of the things they were looking for included ideas of what the measurements would be that indicated benefits. So the idea of transferring cost onto trademark holders, negative externalities, et cetera. And you were saying the group will try to include measurements of defensive registrations?
Right. Those are not benefits, but costs. And wherever it's possible, we will ask the board, we'll advise the board to develop measurements of costs. But we are not taking on the greater request, which was made 4 times in the U.S. government, which was to come up with our own way of measuring all the benefits and to tote up all the costs and benefits and compare the total costs and total benefits of the program. As I said before, that's not in the affirmation. We won't do that. But we will do our best to quantify some of the major costs, particularly those associated with defensive registrations. It does not get you to a simple answer of, wow, did the benefits exceed the cost? That's far too simplistic. And I had a meeting with the Justice Department officials here in Washington and explained it wasn't part of the affirmation, and I think they're starting to understand that now.
So the timing on, because the Consumer Trust, Consumer Choice, and Competition review team is one of the review teams, the 4 review teams established by the affirmation of commitment. The timing on that is to launch when?
1 year after the new TLDs are in the route, which would probably be second quarter of 2013, roughly this time next year. So 1 year after they're in the route, ICANN is to do a review. So that would say that roughly early 2014, a review team would be formed. It would probably spend a year reviewing the new GTLD program on those 3 metrics that I measured. And our hope is that the review team will take all of this advice and all of these measures and targets we've come up with and at least use that as a starting point. They're not obliged to, but they use that as a starting point. So that will occur in 2015.
So just one quick thing about the, in order to launch a review team, this is something that we sometimes lose sight of. But the review team participants are jointly appointed, according to the affirmation of commitment, by the CEO / president of ICANN and the chair of the GAC. We have a process right now that we follow, which is that the CSG, we push very hard that the stakeholder groups put forward their candidates, and those are passed forward by the council without intervention. They can add names but can't take names off. So normally, if we're talking about launching a review team in February, that would mean that this process would launch of identifying candidates around the time of the fall meeting in 2013. So not to overplay this, but just to mention sort of how we would probably want to continue to be involved and then think ahead about that review team. Steve, thank you very much for this. Are there any other questions for Steve? He and John have been doing a terrific amount of work on this.
I think you have a briefing during the BC meeting on Tuesday as well.
If there are no questions, I want to move to ITRP and locking domains, and I'm just going to move very quickly past both of those. Are there any comments that members want to make on those two topics? Our counselors will be participating on our behalf in both of those discussions. They're both 15-minute discussions. Oh, whoops, ITRP is 45 minutes. Steve, anything you as Aid want to make a state about that? Okay. Anything on locking domains? Anyone else on locking domains? Then I'm just going to move to outreach for just a minute. I have put together a small group of volunteers to start talking about outreach, and anyone who's interested in joining that can let Benny know. There's a outreach meeting which we'll get to that is held on, I think it's Wednesday or Thursday morning, and a number of us will be at that. This is a discussion within the council that Wolf Ulrich is driving, and I think primarily this is going to be a report on what is going on in the rest of the discussion about ICANN funding for outreach and participation. Anything further on that before I move us on to later in the day? There's a 30-minute segment which says discussion with new ICANN CEO. I'm not aware that that is actually going to take place, but why don't we just park that and move to the RAA negotiations, which are a real priority for us. The RAA negotiations, anyone have anything particular to add to what we know now about the RAA negotiations?
Marilyn, this is Ron. What do we know right now about the RAA negotiations? Where does that stand?
Well, I can give my interpretation. Is there anyone who feels that they're very current on this? I don't know, Elisa. If you have there's a report, and the staff has done a report which identifies that significant progress has been made, but two major areas are still outstanding. One of them has to do with authentication. Another one, I'm going to blank on what the other one is right now, but one of them has to do with whether or not the registrars, from what I could read, it looks like the registrars are proposing that they would do post-authentication, but within X number of days, 5 to 7 days, but not delay the letting a name go live in the root, a registration go live in the root, but they would then do some form of follow-up, such as sending an email or making a phone call to authenticate. the registrant. The second issue has to do, as far as I can tell, with how many months the registrar would retain data. And I did read all this, but I would turn to Elisa if she's on the phone to see if she has more current understanding of this issue, particularly in terms of stored data. As I understood it, law enforcement wanted a fairly aggressive schedule on stored data that even exceeded what the ISPs do in stored data.
Yeah, that's generally my understanding.
ISPs typically have a certain amount of storage available, and on a something like a 90-day, 110-day, rough 80-day, depending on volume, data gets rewritten. So it's not a firm. It depends on the service the ISP provides. If they're guaranteeing recovery of emails, et cetera, they charge extra for that. But my understanding was law enforcement was asking registrars to retain data for a fairly extensive period, even after the transfer took place or the domain name was canceled. And I think that's a bone of serious. I think that's a very serious challenge. In the meantime, both cost-wise and just capability-wise, and even whether the data still remains very useful. In the meantime, however, some governments are now, the UK is a good example, is now coming up with a mandatory requirement of extending the storage time that ISPs have to maintain data. So those are the two areas that I see as still being outstanding, but many of the areas I think the registrars, ICANN, and law enforcement have reached a form of agreement on. Elisa, is that right?
Yes. There's just those two remaining issues. And, you know, my personal opinion is they've made quite a bit of progress, and I think they actually feel good about the progress that they've made, the registrars do.
So it's going to. We'll hear the update, and then I will just say I'm not sure where the governments are, but from my reading of the materials, it did look like finally that they have made a significant progress. It's a big priority for us as the BC, but I think we'll have to look in more detail at these two outstanding issues and see where we think business stands. The IOC, Red Cross, and IGO, PDP, any comments on that from Zaid or Steve? I'm going to give a quick update on my understanding. I met with the OECD, and frankly, looking at the IGO letter and request, it made a lot of sense to me that those names could go on a reserve list. I don't think that the legal founding for Olympic for the IOC sounds as to be at the same threshold as the IGO names. But the big issue for me is these are very politicized arguments within the GAC, and I don't know what the council is. If Saeed or Steve have a sense of what the council is going to do with this.
Hi, Marilyn. No, I don't. I think this is something that will happen when we are in the meeting. Previous discussions about this were basically that, the board had refused to basically take any action on the recommendations of the GNSO in its first place, so they're not so sure as to how this group now moves forward.
Maybe I'll just say a quick word for members. The IGO names, IGO names are protected by various legal instruments that are treaty competent. That is, the WTO has a legal standing, the World Trade Organization, WIPO, ITU, et cetera. All of those names, WHO, all of those names do have risk associated with the abuse of those names, particularly probably UNDP, because of the role that UNDP plays in development. Certain other of the IGOs have relevance for either development or World Health Organization is probably one that's fairly easy to understand. I don't know what the answer is, but it is highly politicized, and the U.S. government has a different view than other governments have and then the IGOs have. So I guess we'll listen to the proposal and then learn more when we're on the ground. If I can move us very quickly to Sunday. On Sunday morning,
Marilyn, this is Zahid. Can I just make one point about the IRTPC? Just wanted to bring something to the attention of the members.
Please.
Thank you. Just wanted to say that, you know, in the new report, I mean, I'd encourage all the members to look at it. I was the liaison for this between the council and the IRTPC. Of all the various things that you will hear, if you read the initial report and the summary that's on the website on the policy update page, you will find that the first aspect which has been recommended, which is recommendation one, which is change of control by registrars of the domain name, is one of the most contentious issues. And just wanted to sort of bring it to your attention that they couldn't actually come to any sort of a decision within the group. And there were basically three different views that were presented. One was that, you know, the following a change of registrant, the domain name should not be and cannot be transferred to another registrar for 60 days. So the 60-day lock that was going to come into place if there's a change of registrant. And this was done because there was a hope that they would stop domain name hijacking. The opposing view, obviously coming from registrars and others, was that, no, this is going to just create problems in the secondary market if you're going to put a 60-day lock every time a registrant is changed. And so that should not take place. They couldn't come to a conclusion. And so a compromise, although this was discussed, but it wasn't, you know, this wasn't discussed in at length, was that, well, you can have a change of registrant, but there should be an option given to whoever is the registrant to be able to opt out of this control system if they don't want that the domain name should be locked for a 60-day period. They can opt out of it. Not much discussion on the opt-out option has taken place within the working group, but I thought this was important for members because, you know, this is one of the things that could actually affect how we move forward with domain names and whether there will be a 60-day lock-in or not on the change of registrant. So please look at that. Others are there on the website. They were easy to read, but I thought I'd explain this one. This has been the most contentious one within the working group and will be discussed, I'm sure, at the GNSO session on Saturday.
Zahid, that's very, very helpful for all of us. I think many of us don't have the level of understanding of why this is such a critical issue, but it basically means the registrant becomes captive to deadlines that they may not have understood.
Yes, and also, I mean, the reverse of it is also that it you know, they've actually seen that there are situations where through either a crime or a hijacking event, registrants' names are changed, and then registrars are changed, and basically what ends up happening is that you shut out the actual owner, and then you hijack this domain name, and the safety that was being discussed, a safeguard that was being discussed was, well, maybe what we can do at the moment the registrant changes, you have a 60-day lock that comes into place. And then there are the FAOs and other things that are being discussed in that working group, but it's important because if this does happen, some people may find it useful because it ensures that you can't move registrars that quickly and that there is a sort of a secure, safe period in which you can deal with domain names and avoid domain hijacking. On the other hand, it will affect the secondary market in a big way.
Thank you. On Sunday, we are going to start out with a breakfast session. I'm going to come back to that. For the GNSO working session on Sunday, I don't know whether I don't know when this SGI meeting is going to take place. It's a face-to-face meeting of the SGI. So it's basically closed except to the SGI members if it goes on. And I think Ron did think it would go on at 8:30. But at 9, we're going to have an ESSEC briefing to the GNSO Council. I'm going to skip past that because we will also have a ESSEC meeting for the BC. Beginning at 11 o'clock, we've got new GTLD issues with Kurt Fritz, and I think that's going to be a high priority for most of the business participants. So just to flag that to make sure you've got it on your schedule, 11 o'clock to 12:30 on Sunday. We began the preparation for the interaction between the GTLD Council and the board, and that's 12:30 to 1 o'clock. And the meeting with the board is shown on this as 1 o'clock. And following that, there's prep for a meeting with the GAC and the CCNSO. Members may be interested in sitting on that. I think the officers generally will be in that. But the GAC interaction, which takes place in the afternoon on Sunday, is something that all of us will be interested in. I will just note that I'm going to ask Benny to go back and check on the schedule because this is showing 4:30 to 6 o'clock for the interaction between the GNSO Council and the GAC, and again, that's something that will be very interesting to all of us, and you'll want to be prepared to participate on Sunday in the preparation. Let me go to, is there anything else that people want to comment about before we talk about the fuller agenda for the rest of the week, and I move us into that?
Myron, this is Aheed, and if I may comment on the GAC meeting with the GNSO for a couple of seconds.
Oh, please.
I think the RAA amendments are going to be a big issue before the GAC. So it will be the issue that the ISCRC didn't actually go through and the board didn't approve it. They will discuss what the GNSO's view will be on that. I think that the GNSO did a good job by at least recommending stuff, but then the next issue that will come up will be the IGOs and saying, well, what is it that the GNSO is now doing about protecting the IGOs? There will be, I think, a big concern within the GAC about these two issues because they don't seem to find protection in the current process because their views have not. As far as the ISCRC are concerned, the GNSO did its job, but the board didn't actually take it forward. As far as the IGO is concerned, the GNSO is still supposed to do something about it, and I think there will be discussion about even if the GNSO does come up with some solution, what if the board doesn't actually follow through with it? So what happens then? So I think this will be an interesting discussion with the GAC. GNSO meeting. Thank you.
I think that's right. And the RAA, as you said, is going to be. Are there other issues that you know now that the GAC may be raising?
I think these are the sort of salient and main issues that will be discussed because I think that there may be issues I've heard from members in the GAC that they are not happy with in some ways how the new GTLD process generally. There were a lot of recommendations I'll share something. One of the GAC members, you know, we were talking generally at a certain place recently and said that a lot of people within the GAC were so unhappy with how the new GTLD process has gone forward that they were basically saying that people who have gone across, they should have come to us in the government before even applying. So you're going to see a level of, that may be an extreme view, but that's the kind of thing that some members were within the GAC region coming up with. How could somebody apply for something like this before they came? That a bit odd, and that's an extreme view. It's not a majority view within the GAC, but that's something that the sort of discussion that's taking place within the GAC at the moment.
Thank you. I was just in a meeting with a couple of GAC members myself, and I want to reinforce the concern as well. I think the GAC is going to raise questions about how is the comments and objection process going to work, and how is ICANN going to manage to deal with all of the work associated with the new GTLDs as well as the rest of the work they have to do. So objections process, how will it work? How is ICANN going to deal with any contentions that may have implications for government? And I think the question of whether, you know, so few applications came in from developing countries and from the JAS process that it looks like all of those would make it into the first round. So that will probably diminish concerns that governments had about not getting the developing country applicants into the first round. My understanding is the GAC thinks digital archery is very stupid, but I don't know that they will still be discussing that. But the objections process, Saeed, I do expect them to discuss. Anything else? If not, I'm going to move us to... you have from Benny an annotated agenda that she and I tried to color code. We've talked through Saturday and Sunday. We will try to do some kind of a gathering on Saturday evening or Sunday evening, sort of a quick huddle, and we'll add that back in. So following the meeting, we would try to gather members on either Saturday or Sunday so that we can... I think we have that on Sunday right now. That's line 35 in the color-coded agenda that Benny sent out. I just want to remind everyone that there is a DNS Women's Breakfast on Monday, and if you or a colleague are coming and you don't know about the breakfast, we can link you up with the organizers of that. There will be a interaction with the fellowship group, and Gabby, I'll be looking to you to join me and Chris in that. I'm trying to organize a coffee with the registrar XCOM for Sunday morning, but I have not been able to make that happen yet. I'm going to still try to make that happen. The welcome ceremony is highlighted as something everybody should participate in. There is an update for an hour and a half on the RAA negotiations, and all of the counselors and the officers will try to attend that. But I would recommend if BC members can attend that, that would be fantastic as well. We are going to cancel our closed briefing that we had scheduled for Monday because we have overlapping meetings that we need to be in. And we are looking for volunteers for... If you can take a look at all of the highlighted sessions, and if you can volunteer to come to any of these, what you have is just my suggestions for who comes, but we are looking for volunteers to come to all these sessions. You'll note that line 54 in the annotated agenda is the ethics and conflicts of interest, and it would be good to have additional members who can participate in that. Monday afternoon from 1:30 to 2:15, 3:15, there's a session on ICANN and the Internet Governance Landscape, and I have identified all the members that I know have been active in that topic, not trying to be exclusionary, but just to try to identify folks who have been involved in that topic. That'll be a useful session if members can attend that. It's going to be overlapping with the cross-community working groups, and Steve, if I might ask you and the counselors to follow up on what's going on in that and what relevance it has, I must confess I'm not aware of what's going on there, but it is probably something we need to at least figure out what is happening. The SSI review team overlaps with that, and Jeff Brueggemann, who is the with AT&T, and he is the CSG representative, will be participating in the panel on that. We'll also hear from him on Tuesday on our BC meeting. Chris, I think you're an observer on the study group on the use of names for countries and territories.
Yes, that's correct, Marilyn. So I can give an overview back to the BC on that. It's interesting.
Excuse me, Marilyn, can I just interrupt you for 1 second? Tanya, would you be able to please dial back out to Zahid, who got disconnected? I don't think you saw my message on MeetingView. This is fairly urgent, please. Thank you. Sorry, Marilyn. Carry on.
Okay. We'll come back to this. Zahid may have comments to make on this as well. But, Chris, can you tell us why it's of relevance to the BC?
Yes, this is a study group set up by the CCNSO primarily, and there are observers from the GNSO, and I'm one of them. And it's looking at this complicated issue of the names of countries and territories. So, for example, for any country or territory, there can be easily 20 different names for the country, both in the official English short name, the long name, in the different UN languages, different versions in different local languages, abbreviations, and it just goes on and on and on. So the study group is really taking a sort of straw poll of country names. It's done a questionnaire with one of the United Nations agencies, looked at different information or different work that's been done so far to try and come up with a document. It's not going to really make any recommendations, I think. It's more of a sort of an academic problem to try and define or put some parameters around this whole subject of country names. It won't come in time for the round one for the new GTLDs, but the hope is that probably for round two, there'll be some more information on the subject that people can refer to. Hope that's explained it succinctly.
And so that would have to do with, for instance, if entities keep applying for names that are associated with territories or countries, who they have to go get approval from.
Yes, at the moment, as you know, that the simple country names are you can't and indeed nobody has applied for a country name in the GTLDs, but there are variations of country names in different languages. So one of the reasons why it was quite difficult to define in the handbook was to define it in the real world with all the different variations of the names. So it's to try and come up with some sort of guidance for if this is going to be done in the future. So if there's whatever protection there might be or might not be, at least there'll be some sort of documentation to say this is how it's being done by different agencies in the world at the moment, and here's some guidance to it.
Thank you, Chris. I'm just going to ask you, can you also take as a follow-up item, and I'm happy to work with you, we need to go track down that guy that's doing the working group on the possible reorganization of ICANN regions because of the implications that has for the BC. I don't see that continuing to appear as a work item, but we ought to just put that on our agenda to be sure we follow up on.
Yes, that's a different subject, but yeah, certainly I haven't seen it for a while. Yep.
I think Zahid is back. I was going to mention there's a session from 1500 to 1730 on the Commonwealth Cybercrime Initiative, and Zahid, did you want to say anything about that?
Thanks, Marilyn. Thanks. I got dialed back in. I think we're going to have some folks from Ghana. This is one of the first countries that the Cybercrime Initiative just visited and is doing sort of helping them with an ICT strategy and also looking at what sort of legislative changes or work they can do with them on that. So we're going to see someone from Ghana. We're going to have the Jos Tegone, who's from Malta. He's the person who's sort of operationally heading the Cybercrime Initiative from the Secretariat. He'll be there speaking about it, and I think there will be some discussion about the various initiatives that they're trying to do, so undertake with ICANN in reaching out to Commonwealth CCTLDs to help with DNSSEC and many other sort of deployments. So that may be an interesting session. I just came back from a session in Malta where they were helping several Caribbean and Asia and Pacific country members from the Commonwealth on legal frameworks for 6 whole days on ICT legal frameworks. And day after tomorrow, there is a working group meeting in Geneva that is going to take place with on the Commonwealth Cybercrime Working Group. So, I mean, lots of things happening. It's an interesting event to attend for those who may be interested in knowing more about what kind of cybercrime work is taking place. Thanks.
Thanks. And it's an interesting and useful thing to be aware of, since it offers an alternative to the giant sucking sound from the ITU. Thank you for reporting on that. From 15:30, we're going to have a lot of overlap, but that will be transcribed. And I would just point that out to some of the folks that are on the call that have an interest in this issue. The new GTLD program update, 15:30 to 16:30, it's only an hour. I had just proposed that Elisa and Steve and the counselors and officers, but I think most of the BC members will be interested in covering that. If you can volunteer to be in that, please just let Benny know. We then go to a forum on DNS abuse, and I'm hoping Elisa is Elisa has had to disconnect, but that workshop, we do need to have some participation in that workshop from BC members. So do think about whether you are interested in that and could volunteer. I am going to try to go to the CC NSO GAC informational meeting if I can manage that around other. But the next thing that's on the agenda from 5:30 to 6:30 is planning for the next GTLD round, and I think there'll be a lot of interest in that from BC members. So if you're going to be able to go to that and you could let Benny know, then we would know we're going to have coverage there. We're trying to organize something informal on Monday evening with corporates that are there. That would just be drinks in the bar, but it's very tentative at this point. So I'm just going to ask that you stay tuned for that. Then there is a farewell reception for Rod, which would be a good opportunity for us to all socialize. I don't think we'll be making comments, but I think it would be good if we can have good turnout from the BC. On Tuesday morning, our breakfast is with the CCNSO. I just need to announce that we are going to start at 7:45, because the CCNSO has a hard stop at 9 o'clock. So we will be starting breakfast a little bit early. There are 160 participants from the CCNSO. We would expect to have 100 to maybe 110 of those. So it's going to be a really packed house. Please be sure that you RSVP to Benny if you are able to come to that, and I think it's important for us. It's a great opportunity for us to be talking to the CCNSO about shared issues and interests that we have about Internet governance. The next thing that happens on Tuesday is the CSG meeting. I think we'll try to start at 9:45 since we're ending the breakfast early, but I will check with the IPC that's doing this coordination. If you're going to bring guests to the session, that's fine. This part of the meeting is open, but be sure that you clear any guests for the 11:15 to 12:15 session with the board. So one of the things we will do in the discussion with the CSG is finalize. We're giving the board topics. They're going to give us a topic. And then we will have an hour with the board. The room is supposed to be set up a little differently so that the board members are all in the front of the room, not in the back of the room or scattered in the room as they have been, but we're still working on room setup. The topics include impact of new GTLDs on GNSO and ICANN structure, and the importance of ICANN, at this point, the importance of ICANN significantly improving its operational performance. And we're looking for other topics. So if you have an additional topic that you want us to try to get into the discussion with the board, could you let us know? and let me pause and ask if anybody wants to add topics right now. I think the other thing we will probably be talking about if the so let me just raise the CEO orientation. I think we will want to be talking about how the CEO gets incorporated into the community and learns the community, since it appears that they will not be on board as of July 1. I don't have a firm date on when the CEO is expected, but my understanding is it may not be by July 1. Any comments at this point?
Marilyn, Domain Insight, Kevin's just blogged that there's going to be an announcement, I think it's 4 o'clock on Friday, of the new CEO, and the rumors are not starting until September.
Right. The end of September, actually. So announce, show around, but not start, which will leave a leadership gap from July 1 through whatever the date is in September. I guess we can note that our board seems to have an interesting view of what priority is for running the organization.
Marilyn, this is Ron. This is Ron.
Yes.
May I?
Please.
I just, the realization that the board is bringing someone on to drive the company forward in the most critical time of ICANN's history, and leaving a 90-day gap with effectively no operations being directed from the top, when we have identified as a community all of the problems operationally this organization has in this last period, and certainly on the call with Bill Graham and the CSG earlier this last week, I should say. This is astounding to me, and I really look forward to hearing some rationale from the board as to how they believe this can go forward like this. Obviously, you'll bring it up, but it can't go by so quickly without a comment, and I'm just flabbergasted to hear this news. Thank you.
I had heard this. I'd heard that this was the possibility that the CEO would not be available as of July 1. And in my individual comments to the chair and to other board members, I told them that it really was not acceptable that I can not, at this critical time, have strong management oversight. And I'm aware, and I find this very challenging. I think it sends a very bad message. It also sends a message about, in my view, it sends a message about the fact that the board doesn't seem to understand their job or the job of this organization. The COO is pretty much missing in action. The COO is pretty much missing in action. So I think it's not the situation when we had Doug Brandt and the community trusted Doug and would have pretty much, I think, been able to worry through this. But can I ask if others share the concern Ron and I have raised?
Marilyn, Phil here.
Yes?
Am I hearing you right that the new CEO may not actually take the reins until the fall?
Well, what I've heard is either not until that he would come to the September retreat, but not start until after that. And one other thing I've heard is October 1st. But I think, I don't know, Chris, are you saying, is Kevin blogging sometime in September, September 1st? In any case, that would be July, August.
So actually, what he's saying is I've heard September from some sources and October from others, but ICANN is currently declining to confirm or deny the rumor.
So, Phil, it's either 60 days or 90 days.
Well, I'm just astounded. I mean, there's no immediate crisis, but leaving the ship with no captain at the rudder for several months, given what's going on, I am seeing getting feedback from new GTL applicants that they can't get answers from ICANN staff to very simple questions, that everything has to go through legal. There's such a fear of litigation. I think we're going to see a lot of questions raised from the GAC about the new GTLD program. I think there are significant antitrust issues raised by some of the applicants. It's not a good time not to have a new CEO in place. And that's just a personal opinion, but I'm rather astounded.
Marlon, can I share an anecdotal point, something?
Yes, please.
Just before the close of the recent new GTLD application period, I can't disclose the name, but I know that at least there were a number of governments from the Middle East area who weren't really sure whether the application was a GTLD and would qualify, wouldn't qualify, and I can tell you it wasn't a geographic because it wasn't in the ISO list or the UN list. And they called up ICANN, and they got someone on the phone, and they said, well, we want to apply for this, so we have to do it in this round. And they were advised, oh, no, it's a geographic. You can apply at any time. It's a government one. You can apply at any time, when, in fact, it wasn't. This gives you an idea. And so they've been shut off. And so I can tell you there are at least 7 to 8 governments in the Middle East who were really upset at that. Now, I'm sure they should have written and got confirmation, but that's the kind of sort of management stuff that's going on. These guys don't necessarily come to the GAC meetings, but I think they will start now. They're not happy.
I had heard about that, and I also heard that two of them also took that issue. I heard about it at the CSTD meeting, where two of the governments were using it as an anecdote of incompetence on the part of the organization. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send an inquiry to the other chairs in the CSG. What I would say is I've lived through transitions. Many of you have as well. I'm just looking at this list. You know, I've lived through transitions. I've lived through transitions and reorganizing associations where the executive director leaves and the board brings in a board member to be the acting CEO while they do the job hunt for the CEO. I've lived through a transition where the major corporation that I worked for, the chairman hired his successor. The guy showed up at work. He worked for 6 months. The chairman fired him and started over. So, I mean, we've all been through transitions. But this is not a good time for this organization. And if the board doesn't, I guess the thing I'm struggling with is, why did the board not understand that this gap is a problem? That, to me, reflects a problem for us with our board and the board search committee. Let me park this and move us on, because I'm sort of in shock about how this is going to play out geopolitically. We are stuck with it if that's the decision the board has made, but I do think we may have to have fairly strong discussions within business broadly about what's the transition plan and who's running the organization. The answer that August is quiet is not, to me, an answer, because when you run a 24/7 organization, which is what ICANN is supposed to be, you don't close down during August. And I'm wondering if that somehow is the explanation that the board is giving itself. Does anyone else want to say anything about this topic before we move on? Okay. We have a draft agenda for the BC, and I'm going to ask you guys to all look at it.
I had invited Akram to come. I may change that. At this point, I think it probably is still a good idea for us to try to hear from Akram, who is going to be the COO and who is running things. So we've got guest speakers coming on Tuesday. We're going to have an hour with our policy team, but the rest of it is taken up with guest speakers. If you have any changes or you want to propose any changes for Tuesday's agenda, just let me know and Benny know. And some of those guest speakers are to be confirmed, so we may regain some time. I would expect if the CEO is, if they are making an announcement, that there's not going to be a CEO until September or so, I would expect there to be some strong voices of concern expressed by the GAC. And so we'll all be going into the GAC meeting. Beginning Wednesday and Thursday, there's a number of sessions that I'm asking people to volunteer to come to. If you're not listed and you want to come to one of those sessions, all you have to do is just let Benny know and she'll add you into the session. There's a lot of overlapping meetings. And ICANN's chairman canceled the public board meeting on Friday. Instead, although it's not on the agenda, there is an hour on Thursday. Originally, the board was supposed to have an hour on Monday and an hour on Thursday. That's been changed to an hour on Thursday, and it's not on the agenda, but I'm assured by Steve that it will take place, where the board will report, this is what we've heard you say to us throughout the week, and this is what we're going to think about and plan to do between now and Toronto. I am just going to tell everyone that from my personal point of view, and then, Bill, I would like to turn to you for comments, but from my personal point of view, ICANN cannot cancel the public interaction of the board with the community. They need to get they need to return to the days when they actually did work in front of the community, not continue to retreat into staged interactions. And this is, you know, perhaps we now know the reason that they don't want to have a board meeting, which is they don't have a CEO in place in time to announce him. But it looks really, really bad to cancel the public interaction of the board. Phil, could I ask you to share the comments that you've shared with me and others about your perception of how this looks?
Oh, about, now, wait, Mary, are you saying that they won't have a public forum on in Prague?
No, they'll have a public forum,
okay.
But they don't have the
no
public.
Open board meeting. Yeah, well, my views are quite public on this. They were posted on Circle ID back when this was announced. I think it's going in the wrong direction. I believe that a group that's committed to transparency and accountability needs to be moving in the direction of being more open, not less. That I wasn't saying that it's critical to have a public board meeting at every session. Some of them are pre-choreographed and deal with minor issues, but and we heard a bit of backtrack. You know, it seemed to me that they were saying no more public meetings when they announced it. We heard something slightly different from Bill Graham, but my view is that there ought to be, except for highly confidential matters like you know, staff issues, that board meetings should be live webcast and audio cast, just like congressional hearings. And at a minimum, if they're not willing to do that, if they want to be like the U.S. Supreme Court and not have live video, although even the U.S. Supreme Court has live audio of their open hearings, they should immediately produce transcripts with only sensitive matters redacted. What we have now is no public board meetings until who knows what next ICANN meeting, and all we see of the board meetings that are held out of public view are minutes which are released weeks or months after the event and are very not very helpful in really understanding what went on within the meeting and how decisions were reached. So it's clearly a move toward more opaqueness and less transparency, and it's not good for ICANN, in my view.
Anyone else? I would just support what Bill says. I would also note that increasingly the ICANN board has workshops that are 2 to 3 days in length. There's no agenda. There's no report on what's discussed. You know, I think we have to kind of try to help the organization find some better balance, because the whole point of participating in ICANN is that it is a bottom-up, consensus-based, open, interactive, multi-stakeholder environment. And it's feeling to me very much like it's increasingly staff-driven, and I don't mean policy staff-driven, but very few staff interacting and making proposals to the board, and a board that doesn't fully understand the community. Increasingly, the committee work that we get, and this is important for those of us who are going to participate in these meetings on Wednesday and Thursday, board subcommittees come in with briefings from the staff that the community has never seen and never commented on, and the subcommittee is making decisions or is invested in an outcome, but there's no mechanism to truly involve the community. Something about how to help improve that, and we'll come back to that. I just want to talk about the public forum. The public forum is Thursday afternoon, and I think I want to try to have a huddle. I'll ask Benny to work on that, but we're going to need to have a huddle on site to talk about what the BC priorities are for the public forum. And I can't second-guess all of those right now. Thursday's going to be, I think it's going to be a particularly important session for us to have as many members in as possible and to have individual members feeling very comfortable speaking on their own behalf, but we will need to have BC comments. So, Steve, if I can, I'll turn to the executive committee, you and Elisa, and to the officers, you and Elisa and Chris, and we'll try to put something together and come into a discussion with the members by email. Remember that we only say things that we have. If we have existing positions, then we can build on those. We may need to think about whether there are any topics that we don't have existing positions on that we would need to send around to the members. I can't put my finger on one right now other than the leadership issue and assuring the community and the world at large that the organization is able to stand up to the challenges that it's facing. Larry, I want to just announce that Larry Strickling from NTIA is coming to Prague. I have given a 30-minute invitation to if he has the time to come and talk to us about the affirmation of commitments and his views about the ATRT, I am going to work that into our schedule and we'll move other things around it. Larry's role in architecting the affirmation of commitments, I think, is important enough that it deserves, if we could have 30 minutes with him, I really want us to do that. It's very tentative. I've issued the invitation, but I wanted to mention to all of you the issue that you may not have today on your radar screen but should be aware of is that the ATRT
actually relaunches with a second stage working group in January or February of next year, and appointees to it will be made yet this year. So I think that is that's going to be a priority. I'm just looking here at the officers that are still on the call and the members. That is going to be a priority for us because of the implications of where the organization is on transparency and accountability. I want to move to one final comment for all of you. I've been pushing the ICANN staff to move working sessions since they've canceled the board meeting, to move a couple of working sessions they're proposing to Friday morning. But I am going to ask you to advise Benny, if you are stuck in Prague because you had to buy your tickets early, we could do an informal breakfast debrief on Friday morning for anyone who is there. So take a look at the schedule and let Benny know if that actually works for you. And if it does, we'll find a place in the hotel restaurant at the Hilton to just have breakfast and debrief and plan our next stage. Between Prague and Toronto, I think we need to plan a business, I hesitate to use the word summit, but I'm going to use the word business roundtable, to talk about the role of business in ICANN. The new GTLDs, I'm sort of the champion of the phrase, the brands are coming, the brands are coming, the brands are coming. We're going to face major opportunities to incorporate brands into the business constituency in their role of just being interested in the organization. Some of them will be there because they're also applying for a new GTLD registry, but I'm really right now focused on brands who've decided they're going to be a registry, not...
not corporates who are applying for generics, but focusing first of all on brands that have applied. We need to figure out what we're going to do to help them participate in ICANN, not to replace their being a registry that at this point does not belong in the BC. And I think all of us are committed to maintaining the integrity of the business user approach. But it does mean there's going to be a large number of corporates that are coming to ICANN, and they're going to be interested in more than being a registry. They're going to be interested in accurate who is. They're going to be interested in all the stuff we're interested in. So we need to figure out how we can accommodate bringing new players into the business constituency. And between now and Toronto, between Prague and Toronto, I think we ought to be thinking about some kind of a informational session, and then planning for Toronto for a bigger deal. We canceled that for Prague, but I do want to put it back on the table and ask people to think about it leading up to Toronto. I'm going to pause. We're going to wrap up in 2 minutes. Are there any other comments that people want to make?
Marlon, this is Zahid.
Please, Zahid.
I just wanted to say that the and I've sent this around to the members list. The public forum agenda is actually up there, and it includes IPv6, who's reviewing final report renewal of the .com agreement, and balance of the capacity of volunteers versus workload, globalization of ICANN, new GTLDs. This is the new agenda that's been just recently posted. Go ahead, let people know. Thanks.
Sorry, say that again. We didn't hear you.
I was just saying that the public forum's agenda has been posted, and I've sent it around on the list. Okay.
Good. And would you just say it again, please?
Sure. It starts with the board reporting, open mic. There's a break. Then there's ICANN 44 presentations. The next one is IPv6 support by registries registrars.
Mm.
Who is review team final report? Renewal of the .com agreement. Balancing the capacity of volunteers and ICANN staff versus workload and demands. Globalization of ICANN. New GTLDs, and then any other business.
Let me just mention, thank you. Let me just mention that ICANN did a survey. We sent it around to many of you. I'm hoping some did respond. That survey has not been made public. I will see if I can make sure it is shared with all of us. And because I think if we're going to talk about globalization of ICANN, we need to know whatever that survey said and whether we agree with it or not. So the board reporting session is the first thing. Thank you for mentioning that. That was why we couldn't find it otherwise. Any comments that anyone else wants to make? I've got a couple of work items coming out of this. And I guess one immediate item that I take is based on the Kevin Murphy post, I'm going to email the other two chairs and the CSG and see if the CSG leadership wants to ask the ICANN board leadership to explain what is going on.
Marilyn, Chris here quickly.
Chris.
Yeah, just unusually, I didn't hear the budget mentioned on the list in the public comment, and I think that's quite unusual because it is the end of the financial year when the board approved the budget, or would have done on the Friday morning before the 1st of July, which they have to. So that's been taken off the public comment.
Can you, and you know, there's no budget, we don't have a budget meeting, that's been taken off the agenda as well. That's no longer on the agenda.
Right, so I don't know quite what's happening there, whether they've just been relying on the public comment forum or what the timing is with the board, finance committee. Don't know.
But there should be, okay, I'll take that, I'll send an email and copy you and copy our friends in the CCNSO. There should be a... there should be a public discussion about the, I mean, we have a pending document that's still open.
Well, it's normally on our discussions with the CSG when we meet with the board, we normally talk about it. And it's normally in the public forum. That's usually our two opportunities.
Thank you. All right. Thank you all for being so tolerant of the fact we've ragged through this very detailed agenda. Is there anything, I think the priorities I've taken away from this are CEO status and transition issues, depending on what the answer to that is, what's going on with the fact there's no budget session. And we need to see the output of the globalization of the survey that ICANN did. I do think we should be prepared to think about what we think about this idea of no public board meetings being a routine part of the schedule. Because that makes a big difference to people if when they're booking their meetings on whether they are coming to the meeting or not. The other thing that I will just say is the committees of the board have no other mechanism to take community input, and that's been canceled, which is a further step backward from transparency. Is there anything that I've missed as general feedback? If not, thank you again, and I look forward to seeing all of you in Prague. The City of Bridges, as far as I can tell. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Marilyn. Bye now.
Thanks.